I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now, here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you about researcher Mike Ricksecker. He's the author of Travels Through Time, A Walk in the Shadows, Alaska's Mysterious Triangle, as well as several historic paranormal books. He's the producer and director of a docuseries, The Shadow Dimension, and he produces additional full-length content on ancient wisdom, lost civilizations, UFOs, and the supernatural on his extensive YouTube channel. For more than 6 years, Mike has hosted the Edge of the Rabbit Hole live stream show. He also hosts the Connecting the Universe interactive class, operates his own book publishing and video production company, Haunted Road Media, and also hosts the annual Stargates of Ancient Egypt tour. Mike Ricksecker, it was great seeing you, Michael, at the Conscious Life Expo.
It was great seeing you too, George. Thanks for having me back on Coast to Coast.
They had a great crowd, didn't they?
Yeah, they really did. It was a fantastic turnout. Everybody was really excited to be there. And it was my first time at Conscious Life Expo, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
And you got a great award, too.
Thank you. Yes, I won a book award there, and it was fantastic to shake your hand directly after receiving that. So thank you.
Well, you've done a great job over the years. How'd you get involved doing what you do?
You know, it really dates all the way back to when I was a child. I was an experiencer and had several things happen to me when I was little. It dates all the way back to a shadow person incident when I was about 8 years old. Had a few more when I was a teenager, and it was a subject that, the paranormal supernatural that really intrigued me. Coupled that with, I had a fascination for ancient Egypt, history, and so forth, and over the years discovered these two worlds really meshed together, and it's been a lifelong journey.
Well, you do a great job researching.
Thank you.
Have you come across anything that startled you in your work?
Oh, there are many things that have startled me. It just kind of depends on which area we're talking about. You know, when it comes to, okay, if we're going to talk about paranormal and supernatural, one of the things that really startled me the most was watching, and there are five of us that saw this, was watching shadow smoke from the end of a hallway at a historic hotel in Alton, Illinois, Mineral Springs Hotel, that morphed into the apparition of a little girl. And so that was one of those moments where it kind of clicked that, you know, a lot of this phenomena that we see and experience are really related. That particular incident would have been shadow and what we call apparitions. And then over the years, discovering a lot of these different time slip stories are also related as well to this type of phenomenon.
You wrote a book in 2023, not too long ago, called Travels Through Time. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the one that won the award there at Consciousness
Expo. That's right.
Expo. Yeah. So this particular book is the first of the Connecting the Universe series, a whole new series of books that I am in the process of writing. And this really dives into the nature of time, the possibilities of real time travel, and gets into a theory that I call stacked time theory. And essentially, it's this idea that, you know, all time is concurrent. Past, present, future are all here right now. Every moment within that universe, you know, having its own, because everything's you know, energy, frequency, resonance, vibration, each of those moments has its own frequency to it. And if we can tap into those different frequencies, we can move up and down that stack at will, which, of course, is a challenge, is being able to harness that particular frequency. But we see these types of things play out in our everyday lives, where two moments can bleed into each other, and that's where we might, that's where we have what we call a time slip, which in some instances gets mistaken for what we might call a haunting or seeing a ghost or something like that.
Now, what is a Stargate, Mike?
Yeah, Stargate. So, Stargates, we're talking about a doorway, really. You could call it a portal. Perhaps it's using some sort of wormhole technology to enter into another place. Well, it could be someplace else on the planet. Usually we regard it as some as something that will take us to another place in the cosmos. But it's, you know, pretty much what it you know, describes itself as, is a gateway through the stars to some other location. And this could even be another dimension in space-time.
Are you familiar with the work of David Politis?
I am, yes.
He contends that people disappear in state parks. And he said in some cases they're just walking along like a little kid. Parents turn around and the kid's gone. Where'd they go? Is it possible, Michael, that they're falling through these stargates?
It's completely possible they may be passing through what we might call a stargate or some sort of portal. You know, there are some of these people that come back, and they have some of the most bizarre stories. And what they'll say is, look, I was on the path, and I heard something off on the side, you know, out in the woods there somewhere. They took a step or two off the path and didn't find what was making the noise, turned around to get back on the path, and all of a sudden the path is gone. And they only took a step or two. Where did the path go? So when they stepped off of that path, did they step through a portal into maybe it was another point in time? Maybe it took them to somewhere else in the forest? You know, and it might be days later that they're found. You know, they're wandering through the woods. So these are really strange, bizarre stories, but it causes us to question our own reality in this dimension.
Back in, gosh, I think it was 1935, Albert Einstein and a fellow by the name of Nathan Rosen came up with a theory that they believed that there were portals and tunnels in space. What do you think of that?
Yeah, and they were absolutely correct. So, yeah, the Einstein-Rosen Bridge, what we call commonly call a wormhole, NASA, oh, a little over 10 years ago now, discovered in space between us and the sun what they call X points. But they have admitted these are actually portals, and they've sent satellites up to these to research and discover more about them. And essentially what these portals do, these X points, is they allow a greater influx of the solar wind from the sun to hit the Earth. Now, they will open and close at random. They will open and close at different sizes. In all of their research that they've done on these so far, they really haven't found any particular pattern to how these things operate. But they know they're there, and I think it's pretty significant that you have an organization like NASA that is admitting, yes, we do have portals out there in space.
Do you think if there are extraterrestrials visiting here, they are traveling through wormholes?
It's certainly one method that they could be using to get here. They may have figured out how to establish that Einstein-Rosen bridge, what we call a wormhole, to be able to traverse from wherever they are in the universe to here. You know, it takes a long time to travel the universe. Humanity right now, even if we were to, you know, put ourselves in some sort of ship to try to do that, you think about the Voyager satellites. You know, they have just, in recent years here, gone beyond our solar system, but, you know, it took them many decades to do that. So, you know, as human life forms, we don't have the resources or the lifespan to be able to do that. And it's reasonable to think that with extraterrestrials, they would also have those same limitations. But we do have evidence of extraterrestrial life forms coming here to Earth. So the question then is, how are they traveling those vast distances? So the idea and the concept that they have been able to figure out how to create their own Einstein-Rosen bridge or wormhole or Stargate is certainly feasible.
We're with Mike Ricksecker, and we're talking about travels through time. How do people see and hear you on YouTube, Mike?
Oh, yeah, I have my own YouTube channel there, Mike Ricksecker, so you can just go youtube.com/@mricksecker, and I have over 700 videos out there. I've been on the platform
wow.
for a while now.
That's a lot.
Yeah, very many years of work, so yeah, it's quite a bit.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How accurate do you think Einstein and Rosen might have been when they talk about these points in the universe that would allow travel?
Well, you know, we still use a lot of Einstein's theories to get us around the solar system.
And the guy never had a computer.
No, he didn't. He had a team of mathematicians. He even admitted that math was not his strong suit, but the physics part of it certainly was. And so he used a team of mathematicians to help him out with some of the heavy lifting. But yeah, we still use all of that today to, you know, get to Mars or send satellites out to Pluto. His theories still work.
He regretted eventually his theory of relativity because he thinks he's one of those responsible for the atomic bomb, and he saw what it did, and it bothered him.
Yeah, a lot of those people that worked on that project, that really bothered him, like Oppenheimer and so forth. Unfortunately, humanity has a propensity to take their discoveries and weaponize it, which is a real shame. And so, I can completely understand how, you know, the thought of that personally affected him. But it did help us in so many other areas other than weaponry that it's been a great benefit to humanity.
CERN, which borders France and Switzerland in that area, there was concern that by using CERN, that they would create wormholes and black holes. What do you think of that controversy?
Yeah, you know, that's something that could certainly happen. We have seen just recently here a wormhole that was created in the lab, not CERN, but and I can't, off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of the lab. But they had actually created on the quantum level, in the quantum environment, two miniature black holes connected via a wormhole, and they were able to send a message through one. So it's something that our scientists are working on. It is a little concerning because if this was, you're talking, okay,
this was the University of Amsterdam, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it would be concerning. If you made created a black hole that was too large in the lab, would it engulf our planet? So I can certainly see why we would be concerned about it, but it's that frontier of technology in which we're trying to come up with those solutions to traverse the cosmos. So it's going to be something that we attempt to do. And it may be a callback to technology that the ancients had. You know, we see throughout ancient Egypt and other places in the world these Stargate locations. Is this what they had originally created? Maybe they used a different type of science to establish it, but it's one of those where I think we're rediscovering our past here.
If you went into a Stargate or if you went into a wormhole, could you get back?
Ah, that's a wonderful question. I would like to think so. I would hope that it's not a one-way trip.
One-way trip nowhere.
Right. The question becomes, what do we see when we're on the other side of the wormhole? Is it a direct path? Is it a throughway, one to the other? Do we have to reactivate it? Many people are familiar with the science fiction movie and television show Stargate, where once you got to the other side, you had to reactivate it. That's an answer that we don't quite have yet, but it's possible that we would have to get to the other side and, of course, turn it back on.
Are you fascinated by Stargates?
You could certainly say that, since we are running an annual Stargates of Ancient Egypt tour. I think it's fascinating. I think it's, again, technology that we once had in our ancient past. And to establish something like that here in our present and our future, to be able to move across the cosmos, this may be how we discover and travel to other worlds.
Why Egypt?
It's almost like a callback to home. I think many of us, and people that I've talked to, all these various conferences, people that I've talked to in our circles, a lot of people will say, I feel like I've once lived a past life in Egypt. And the same is true of me. I feel like I have. And there's a mystique about it. It's one of our most ancient civilizations. I believe that there's ancient Atlantean technology there that is yet to be discovered. And so this is one of the biggest mysteries of the world that we're still trying to find information about.
Do you think science will truly get to the point where we can travel through these stargates?
I believe we'll eventually figure it out. Again, they're working on it now. It might be a different technology that is eventually used. But what's interesting about our species is that we come up with these ideas in our stories, in our science fiction. Our imagination is a wonderful thing. And while for decades we'll consider that, that's just storytelling and that's just science fiction, we eventually make it happen. We've seen so much technology come out of television shows like Star Trek that we have now today that 40, 50 years ago was just considered science fiction. So we eventually make these things happen. The path there might not be obvious and it might take us a long time, but we seem to eventually make our imagination happen. We manifest these things.
If we put you in a time machine and sent you back to talk to Albert Einstein, what would you ask him?
That's a good question. I would probably just really sit down and have a chat with him. Maybe I'd ask him what his favorite type of coffee is. I would ask him about how he felt about the burgeoning technology that we have and how he saw his works benefit humanity.
Yeah, that's very possible. What about Stephen Hawking?
I'd pick his brain about black holes. That was really his forte, was and that's another one where it used to be that we didn't really believe black holes existed, and now we pretty much all do. But he was at the forefront of that. So I would certainly pick his brain about what he knew and what he was theorizing about black holes.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts,
the medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.